Welcome to Fueled by Grace. My name is Mark Shiver. Glad to have you listening to the podcast. I hope that you will find it time well spent because I am telling you today, I am excited. This message has been churning in my heart for several weeks, and I am finally ready to share it with you. And I believe that it will encourage you in your faith. I believe it will build you up, and that's my prayer. God, may these words touch every person that listens and build them up and encourage them in the truth of the gospel. And you know, our message here and our mission is always the same. We are here to let you know that God loves you, to encourage you in the never-ending, unconditional love of God. And so God finds various ways to get that message across, and we're so excited here at the message he has given us today that will communicate to you in a great, great way his awesome love. You know, the Holy Spirit is sent to be, Jesus said, the Greek word is our parakletos, one called alongside to help. And he is in us, if we're born again, to help us understand God's amazing love, to help us see the truth of the gospel. You know, the gospel means good news, and it's absolutely good news what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to take a little trip back in time today, if you don't mind. We're going to look briefly at some of the words in the Old Testament, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. They all talk about various offerings that the people of Israel were to bring for various things. If you sinned intentionally, there was an offering. If you sinned unintentionally, there was an offering. You know, God had all of these people out in the desert, and he needed to find a way that they could live in community, because back then, as you know, they didn't have hot and cold running water. They didn't have brick homes. And what were they going to do, for example, when mold made its way into one of their homes? And so the priests were God's vessels to study different things and address them as they occurred. In other words, if you, for example, had mold in your house, you had to go and bring one of the priests, and they would examine it and decide what to do, tear out a wall or whatever. And these were very practical things that God implemented for taking care of hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of Jews in the desert as they were living back so long ago. And while there are very practical things that touch on every area of life in the book of Leviticus, and I know sometimes it's tough to plow through all of that, but understand that God was making a way for them to live in community and be safe and address the very smallest as well as the largest of issues that they could run into, that they could encounter while they lived together. And sin was one of those things that God addressed in the Old Testament. As the people of Israel gathered and were under God's laws, there were animal sacrifices for just about everything you could think of. Times when you were thankful and times when there were peace offerings to be made. We're at peace, let's make an offering. Times when we were guilty or trespassed or sinned. There is one phrase that keeps recurring through the description of these various offerings. For example, laws for guilt offerings in Leviticus 5:19. He must bring to the priest an unblemished ram of proper value from the flock as a guilt offering. Then the priest will make atonement on his behalf for the wrong he has committed unintentionally, and he will be forgiven. It is a guilt offering. He was certainly guilty before the Lord. Now, what I want to focus in on here is the word unblemished, because time and time again, we find the words unblemished. They must bring an unblemished offering to the Lord, a lamb without blemish, a goat or a bull. And the various offerings that were there for various things were to be without blemish. They could not have any fault in them. I was listening to Pastor Joseph Prince, and he talked about some of the offerings, and God just exploded this revelation into to my conscious mind and my awareness and in my spirit. I've been studying this and praying about it, and some of the most powerful words in Christianity, are you ready? The priest examined the sacrifice. the priest examined the sacrifice. Well, you're saying, what, Mark, that's not powerful. Folks, let me tell you that under the law, the person brought the sacrifice and the priest examined it to see if it had any flaws, to see if it were without blemish. Are you hearing me? They did not examine the person bringing the sacrifice, the lamb or the bull or the birds. You know, you brought different things depending on whether or not you had a lot of wealth or were poor, you could bring birds. The priest examined the sacrifice. Folks, this is amazing. This will set you free from so much if you will understand today. God, I'm praying that you will help the listeners to understand that the priest did not look at the person bringing the sacrifice and say, well, you certainly sinned. No, a person bringing an offering for a trespass or for guilt, they knew that they were guilty. They knew that they had sinned. They wouldn't be bringing an offering if they did not already know this, and the priest knew it. What was important? The important thing was that the sacrifice be without blemish. The priest examined the sacrifice. The priest examined the sacrifice. This is so powerful because you have in those five words what is the reality of the finished work of Christ in our lives. Because if you look in 1 Peter, starting with verse 18 of chapter 1, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life you inherited from your forefathers. Listen, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or spot. The priest examined the sacrifice. And you know what? God examined the sacrifice of his son. And he found him to be without fault, without blemish. He found him to be perfect. And so the perfect blood of Jesus applied to the mercy seat fulfills the obligation for atonement, for forgiveness of sins, not just for a year. You see, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and later in the temple, the high priest would bring the blood of a goat and put it on the mercy seat, and God would come and accept that sacrifice if it were done properly. And for a whole year, the nation of Israel were forgiven. They were forgiven of all of their sins. And the glory of God would fill what they called the Holy of Holies. And it was an amazing thing. Yet that wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough because it had to keep happening year after year. So God himself examined the sacrifice, his son Jesus, without blemish, without sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Look, Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It is an amazing thing, the way all of this ties together. Look, it's very simple. Instead of taking a bull or a lamb or a goat or some birds to the priest and having them examine the sacrifice, and if they are without blemish, without fault, they will sacrifice them to God and we can walk away knowing that we're forgiven. No, God sent his son. His son Jesus lived and fulfilled all of the requirements of God's law. He was without sin. And now we can know that God is not examining us, hallelujah. He is examining his son. He is examining the perfect, unblemished blood of Jesus. And when we accept his gift of salvation, he applies that to us. We are born again and we are in union with Christ. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ. It's so powerful. Think of it in its most simplistic terms. Sin, bring a sacrifice. A sacrifice is examined by the priest. If it's accepted, you walk away forgiven. Well, accept God's gift of salvation in Christ Jesus. God is examining the sacrifice. He examines his son. He finds him to be perfect without blemish. He accepts his blood. He accepts his death. And because he had not sinned, death could not keep power over him. And boom, Jesus rises from the dead. And now it says that we are resurrected with him and we are seated with him in heavenly places. It's so simple, and yet we want to make it complicated by saying, well, you've got to live this way, you've got to do that, you've got to do this. We keep examining our sin, and God Himself is not examining our sin. Did you hear me? God is not examining our sin. He is examining the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice, because in the Old Testament, under the law, the priest was not examining the person bringing the sacrifice. The priest examined the sacrifice and found it to be without blemish, and he offered it to God for the forgiveness of sins. Listen, God has accepted His Son in your place. And if you will accept that yourself and believe it and receive it and walk in it, you will stop worrying about trying to live a life that is good enough to somehow be in relationship with God. So many people are not enjoying, they're cut off from God in their own minds. They say, well, I'm not good enough. I can't hear from God. I can't talk to God. God won't answer my prayers. I'm just so much of a sinner. I'm just so bad, you know, and I'm trying to go to church and I'm trying to read my Bible and I'm trying to pray and I just can't be good enough. And God is saying, stop it. I have accepted the sacrifice of my Son for you. You are good enough if you believe and receive what I have done for you. Now let's get to fellowshipping. Let's spend time together. Let's enjoy one another's presence. That's what God is saying to you. And you know what? As you begin to look at Jesus and stop examining yourself, because look, you can examine yourself all day long and you will never, ever, ever be good enough. But once you receive the gift of salvation and you are born again, you are a new creation. Examine that. Examine the reality of the new creation, because the new creation does not sin. You can examine the reality that Jesus is living in you. You can look to Jesus, the Bible says, the author and finisher of our faith. And you know what will happen? The bad habits and the sins will begin to fall away, because the character of Christ will grow in you as you look to Him. My flesh will never be righteous, but I am made righteous by the blood of Jesus. And my new man, my new creation, the new me, is in constant fellowship with Jesus. So I'm going to enjoy that right now. And as you begin to do that, your flesh will have to submit, and you won't be doing the things that make you frustrated and feel guilty all the time. I can tell you this because it's happened in my own life. And it's happening in my own life. As we focus on Him, we begin to change. Folks, it's awesome. And it's very, very simple. God loves you and gave His Son to die for you. And if you would begin to receive that reality into your life, begin to understand that you are forgiven and walk in that reality every single day, you will begin to have a relationship with God that is unlike anything you have ever experienced in your life. Well, I hope that you'll share this with someone, because I believe it's powerful. I believe it will change lives. And thank you for listening. And until next time, remember this: God loves you very, very much.